read each one this morning in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, our risen Lord and our living Savior. Also bring greetings from our home church at McVeigh Town, Gospel Light. Invite you to come and visit us there. Coming here brings back memories of over the past 40-some years as three of my oldest brother-in-laws grew up here in the community. And as a young person visiting here, and here we are 40-some years later behind the pulpit here, seeing some of the same faces, but showing a lot more age than what they were back then. And obviously a lot that aren't here brings back memories of your former leadership here that is no longer with you. But it's a blessing to see the work of the church going on. I ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look at the assignment and at the message. It's my desire that God would be glorified and we could be encouraged in our walk of life, in our Christian walk. And I was blessed with the service already this morning, Thanksgiving, and then the thought of the second coming of Christ, something that is universal, it affects every one of us. And I felt like our Sunday school and the opening here was very foundational for the message. The assignment I was given was maintaining relationships in a digital world. Something we all face. We're in this world. We say we're not of the world, but these things affect us. I was blessed. I was blessed with the last song that we sang, excuse me, Close to Thee. And the songwriter here, he says, Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. This talks about a pilgrim journey. And as Christians this morning, I think we recognize that fact. We're in the world, we're not of the world, and yet we're finding our way through the world. And we'll look at some of that as we go through the message. Maintaining relationships in a digital world. And like some of these things are, about didn't know where to start with this, because the Bible, you can't look up digital in the concordance and find a verse that talks about the digital age or digital world. but it's something that we're in a time where that's part of it. And it was interesting looking in an old dictionary, looking up the word digital, what gave the thought of digits and numbers and things. Then you look at more of a modern dictionary, it gets a little more into the computer age. Changing scenes. Well, in studying, and I don't know what you're expecting here this morning exactly, but not knowing where to start, and digging into things, looking at at even the secular world, what they're saying about the digital world, I wasn't sure how to bring this together and where to stop. So try not to keep you too long this morning. I was told there's good food waiting for us. And I ask for your prayers that through the preaching, our senses could be sharpened, our hearts drawn closer to God and closer to the family of God. And that we would be willing and committed to do what it takes to maintain good relationships. I see three things here when looking at this title, Maintaining Relationships in a Digital World. Number one, communication. And as we said, we're in a digital world. We live in a digital world, computers, cell phones, apps of all sorts to communicate. We have email, we have texting, and then you can go into Skyping and all the rest. Whereas it used to be more in person, letter writing, the Pony Express, telegrams, telephones. And I remember the day when, you know, my dad would travel to Central America and he about couldn't call home. He had to go travel an hour or two just to get to a phone. And I think in the one case, they had a phone that had to be cranked to keep the thing going to call. Well, we can't even hardly relate to that. And our children are growing up at home. you know, we had the landlines with the cords, and you could only go so far away from the base. Then I remember when the cordless phones come in with a long antenna on it, and, you know, some of those things were looked at a little negatively at first. Well, here we are. My children can't even hardly relate to those times. I wish I'd have one of those old black phones that we used to have with a receiver and the circular dial thing and all that. Well, anyhow, communication. We're in the digital world now. Relationships. They can be good, they can be bad, they can be close, they can be strained, they can be broken. But in the context of this message, we'd like to focus on strong, healthy, upbuilding relationships. And what does our communication have to do with relationships? It has a lot to do with it. But then the third word that I'd like to look at, and I guess my thought this morning is communication and relationships in the context of church, community, family, should be aimed one way, and that is for fellowship, where our communication and our relationships bring us to a fellowship. Speaks of a warm, heart-to-heart relationship. The dictionary's definition of fellowship is companionship, friendly association, mutual sharing in activity, experience, and interests, and so forth. A group of people with the same interest, company, and brotherhood. That's the goal here this morning, that as we look at maintaining relationships in a digital world, that our goal and aim is for a closeness, a fellowship that draws us not only closer to each other, but closer to God. And that's all important. And at the foundation of all our relationships, or lack of relationships, I believe it's so dependent on our relationship with God. I'd like to turn to John 17 for a few verses. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer to the Father, what is his desire for us? Yes, in the digital world. It don't mention the digital world here. Well, what is his desire for our relationships within the body? John 17, I'm going to be kind of skipping down through and reading a few verses. Verse 5, Jesus says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and that thou hast believed, and they have believed that thou hast did sent me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." I'd like to stop there just a little bit. Jesus is saying here, I'm no more in the world. He's going to be leaving his people, his children behind. But he pleads with the Father. He says, keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me. Recognizing the fact that we are still in the world. We're still faced with the pressures of the world. We're still faced with strained relationships. It's common to man. Go back to the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, when sin came into the picture, the blame game. Their children, the first murder. Relationships have been strained from the beginning of time because of sin. And even amongst, and we heard some of that this morning already, you know, within a church setting, relationships are challenged. What does this have to do with the digital age? Then going down to verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And I love that verse. Jesus recognizing the fact that we as his children were going to be faced with pressures, relationships, and so forth. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Going down to verse 21. that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I just love Jesus' prayer here. And that prayer, it reaches down to us here in 2025. You know, the thing of, he knew relationships will be tested. And our tendency to be drawn away from him will also be tested. He knew the digital age was coming. And the challenge of all ages and relationships. You know, God is not without resources for the digital age or our time. Not at all. Sometimes we feel like, well, our parents can't relate to this. Our older ones maybe can't relate to some of the things we're facing. God is not without resources. There's established principles from the beginning that still apply to our day. And I appreciate the burden of this assignment. You know, good relationships and fellowship always take effort and come with a cost and demand discipline of us. Good relationships will always only be maintained as they're intentional. Even our relationship with God. And I'd like to turn to John chapter 1, and again reading a few verses, thinking of the effect of our relationship with God and how that affects our relationships with one another. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. Is that what it says? We have fellowship one with another. And I love that. Finally, first of all, if we want to maintain good relationships, whether it's in the digital age or wherever, whatever time frame we're living in, we have fellowship with God. Brings us into fellowship one with another. Again, I'm going to read verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's really what brings us together, is our common salvation through Jesus. The independent me and God alone mentality, I don't see as scriptural. We need each other. Relationships are very important. Maintaining relationships in a digital world. The title here implies that there are threats to relationships by our digital world or by our digital influence, the gadgets and things. And there definitely are threats. And I believe there's threats even with our relationship with God in these things, because we'll touch on some of that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, here we go again, a doomsday preacher on technology, and you know what, I'm okay with that. I desire to be balanced this morning, but you know, when we are silent about things that we know have negative effects, like someone said here a while ago, silence is acceptance. And secular society would even tell us some of the negative effects of digital world that we live in. Does that mean we throw it all out, we shun it all? I'll let you decide that for yourselves as a congregation here, where you draw the line on some of those things. But silence is acceptance. I had to think of a doctor years ago. I went for a physical exam for my CDLs and was in the office there, and I don't enjoy physical exams. And so I like a conversation that kind of keeps me thinking something else. And we got to talking about some of the world affairs and things, and you know, he was probably in his mid-50s or 60 years old, and he said, we got to talking about some of the issues in the world, and then he got to talking about some of the things that are coming into the church. And he said, it's my generation's fault for some of the things we're facing. And that was an interesting comment. You know, we often look at the younger generation, we say, what's the matter with them? Why are they not seeing it? Well, he said, it's my generation's fault. He said, when these things were surfacing, He said, we saw dangers, but he said, we were silent for the sake of peace, for the sake of trying to keep relationships. He said, we were silent. Again, silence is acceptance. We must remember that the digital gadgets that we use were not designed by men of faith for the sake of the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that's 100% across the board that way, but their original design, I don't think were necessarily to build the kingdom. They were to make things more convenient, and many of these things do. But these are things. And it's not by accident, I don't believe, that the richest, the billionaires of today are those that are prominent owners of companies that build many of today's digital technologies. You know, it's a big deal. And it does affect us. Does that make them all wrong? Again, Jesus' words were, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And the evil influence, the evil intent that the devil uses through these tools to draw us away. Somewhere I read a quote or heard a statement that the internet tends to desensitize us. And you know, I believe that. We can relate with a machine or a mechanism or whatever, that we can kind of get it to do what we want. And we get desensitized to those around us. So as Christians, we have decisions we have to make. Looking at a few things with our digital devices, our phones and computers in particular, and that could include iPads and tablets and smartwatches, and the list could go on. I remember a man I met, I was in New Jersey for a message assignment a few years ago, and there was a community man that was attending church there. He was a public school teacher. And after we ate lunch, we were at the same place for lunch, and after we ate lunch, he come over and sat beside me, and he wondered a little where we're at with what we accept in technology, and phones and internet, things like that. And he gave me his story. In the early 2000s, his wife especially was seeking truth and didn't want the TV in the home anymore. He really struggled with it. He liked sports. And he said, it wasn't that I used it for immoral things or anything like that. But so it took a few years till they worked through that and they got rid of their TV. And he said that was one of the most liberating things we did. He said, our family life has improved very much since then. And then he went on with the computers and internet and things. And he struggles that us as plain people continue to accept more and more. And that was a real challenge to me. Coming from the other side and putting these things away, and here we come and getting a hold of everything that we can possibly do to make life easier and things. And I let that as a challenge. And he told me where they're at in their home. And as a public school teacher, he had internet and all that in his office and for his work, but he wouldn't have it in the house, in the home. Probably better than what most of us have accomplished. One of his statements was, he said, by design, the screen is addictive. And you can read that probably many other places. It definitely is. And a recent article, and I'm going to refer to a few news articles this morning, just to give us an idea and I guess help us maybe to see where the purpose of some of these things, what I believe there's a mastermind behind some of these things, and yet may God give us wisdom to have a balanced view of what's a tool and what's for amusement or for entertainment. This was a recent article, I think it was October the 8th. TikTok's algorithm keeps users coming back for more. Thinking of the the thought that it's addictive. TikTok's design makes it easy for teens and adults alike to spend much more time on the app than they planned. The way it works is simple. Every time you swipe, TikTok's algorithm picks another short video it thinks you'll like. Because the videos are quick and different from one another, funny clips, music, stories, or even dramatic personal posts, your brain starts to crave the surprise of what might come next. Researchers say it can take as few as 260 videos or about 35 minutes. Now imagine that. That's a lot of videos in a short time. To form a habit, and soon people want to scroll more often. In a study of over 800 users, light users who started about 30 minutes a day doubled watch time in just a few months, while heavy users often spent over 4 hours daily on the app. Many say they lose track of time without realizing it. What does that have to do with our subject this morning? Now listen, TikTok can slowly replace time spent with friends or family, since it feels easier to swipe than to stop. Although TikTok provides time limits and reminders, users often admit to ignoring them due to the strong urge to continue scrolling. These things are designed to be addictive. Now we might say, well, we don't have TikTok. I don't know where you stand with all that. And I say, praise the Lord if you don't. Some of those things may have their place, but I don't think we need them. I have a question for you here this morning, and I'd like a response. How many here over the age of 16 do not have or use a phone? Can you raise your hand? Now, with that, so I didn't see any hands unless I missed one. How many of you do not text at all? Well, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here or to condemn anybody. But with that ability, we probably have a group here that's very connected and hopefully have great relationships and hopefully don't have any problems. Is that how it works? Well, you know, we are more digitally connected, but with that, too often, there are more shallow relationships. It's easier for us to connect digitally sometimes, or communicate, I should say, maybe not connect, than it is to take the time to talk together, to see each other face to face. And you know, that's a problem. That is part of what came with the digital age. It did not come with creation as such. And I'd like to look at a few other news clips just to touch on that a little bit. To give us insight on how secular society is seeing this and some of the problems they're facing, and I think we're feeling the effects of some of those things ourselves. This was in the news in September of this year. It says, mayors in France and Japan test limits of smartphone restrictions. And I can't say all these names, but one place in Japan, stepping into the national spotlight after Mayor Koki unveiled a draft ordinance urging families to curb smartphone use, particularly among children. The proposal, to be voted on September 22nd, calls for leisure use to be limited to 2 hours a day, with primary school children switching off by 9 p.m. and older students by 10 p.m. Koki argued that excessive use leads to disrupted sleep, broken routines, and weaker family bonds. By reducing family communication time, he warned that children who stay home on their phones often become futoko, whatever that means, or school refusers, and risk sliding into long-term social withdrawal. Then he goes on and said that they offered teenagers basic phones, saying it improved village life. So, what was he saying here? Somehow they were getting addicted to using the phone to communicate, and it was negatively affecting their village life. And I don't think we have to look real far to see the same thing. And I think it comes really close home too often. How often do we, when we get to the table, sit down and our digital devices, our phones, lay right beside us, and they continue to take our attention? And we'd like to touch on that maybe a little bit later in the message. Another news article, old-fashioned hobbies are helping Gen Z find calm and comfort. June of this year was published. More young Americans are turning to old-fashioned hobbies like knitting, needlepoint, and scrapbooking to find peace in a fast-paced digital world. Many in their 20s and 30s say they're drawn to these grandma hobbies as a way to slow down, reduce stress, and disconnect from constant screen time. I felt like I had too much time taken away by the screen, says this one person at 26 who started crafting daily after leaving a stressful job. For this Manos Balanos, 22, the appeal lies in the calm routine. It's nice to know that even if work, school, or whatever feels super stressful, I can go home and cosplay a 70-year-old retiree, she said. The shift is also social. Another one says she gathers with friends to needlepoint instead of meeting at crowded bars. It provides an activity for friends to sit together in silence, she said. Data shows that the trend is growing. Evenbright says that scrapbooking and journaling have doubled since 2023, and Shopify reports cross-stitch sales are up nearly 90%. For many young adults, these hobbies offer not just a break from technology, but also a sense of calm, creativity, and community. Again, thinking about our relationships. And isn't it sad that some of these things that can be so handy and good tools maybe are a real threat to the core of our society, and that's relationships and relating together, working together. It helps us on one side and destroys the moral fiber of what we really want. Growing number of places restrict phones in schools. This was August of this year. A teacher in Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, described dramatic changes in his classroom after a state began enforcing a new law banning phones during the school hours for 2025-2026 school year. Today, this was after this ban took effect, today all of my students, 100% of them, took notes in my class, did their assignment, asked for help when they got stuck, and tuned in and turned it in, and when they were done, they talked to each other. Now, those are simple little things. But removing the device in the school brought this about. This was the 11th grade history teacher that said this. He called the shift magic after years of feeling helpless trying to police phones individually. Supporters of the ban argue that the phone-free schools help students focus and improve their mental health, citing data from the National Center for Education Statistics that shows phones often harm academic performance and attention spans. So, in taking care of maybe or improving one part of our life or way of life, are we destroying more than what we're gaining with some of these things? I ask. Why do I read these articles? Does it apply to us? What does it have to do with maintaining relationships in a digital world? I think it has a lot to do with it. We're faced with it. We deal with it. And I don't have all the answers to these things. But you know, God does. And I believe if we are sincere about these things, we will not look at them lightly, but rather consider how is it affecting us? Where is it taking us? God has also instituted the Church of Jesus Christ to be personally connected. And I believe within a brotherhood, we need to find a way that works for us, that's safe. You know, the Bible talks of being members one of another. And according to some of these news articles, our digital age or world is militating that very thing. And don't think for a moment there's not a mastermind behind a lot of that. We are one body with many members. Do we function as a body? God has invested authority and structure, I believe, in the church to help us through these issues. You know, every era of time, we might think we're isolated to a pandemic or whatever with the digital tech and all that. But every era of time has faced its challenges. There's no generation that hasn't had something they had to work through. For us, it's some of these details, and we must face them. They're not neutral. They are going to have their effect on us, and we must face what's going to work or what's not going to work. One of the problems we face in the digital world with the internet and in church community, instead of depending on each other within a given community or a congregation, you know, we can Google it, or we can ask Siri or Copilot or one of the AI, whatever references, for almost any kind of answer. And they'll give us an answer. And AI is taking this thing, I think, we're only at the barely at the beginning of what's to unfold yet. This, I don't know if any of you have read or seen this book, Scrolling Ourselves to Death. I just was, through an article I read, I heard about it and I sent for it and I got it on Friday, so I really didn't read the book. I can't say that I would recommend it, but there are some statements and statistics there that are very good and I would say are eye-opening, at least they were to me. But, and he just made a statement there, he referred to a book that was written in the 80s, I think it was, Amusing Ourselves to Death, and how that book predicted of some of the things, but how, you know, these things are getting outdated, and how this book, probably in another 20 years, to those, our young generation will be like, you know, that's pretty outdated as well. This thing is a fast-changing thing. But getting back to our problems, going to these, using digital tech for our information, and there's a place for that. But when it comes to community and church and spiritual things, let's not depend on digital technology or abilities, Google and all those, to solve our problems. The other thing with that is, I believe it militates our faith against our faith in God. You know, we like answers, and we like them now. And you know, we could go to the Word of God again this morning. We don't have time to do all that, but what did the saints of old do when they needed answers and direction in life? It brought them to their knees. There was fasting and praying. Today you can, especially with AI, you can go on, and I just, as an experiment here the other day, I went on and I wanted a devotional on truth. And you know, it gave me the whole outline and everything. It was all right there. Now I'll tell you, that is not a Spirit-led devotional for us to use that and present it. And God forbid that we do that. That don't mean the truth they had there wasn't good and right. But when we are called to share the Word of God, may we study the Word and share it from the heart. When we get dependent from answers from these platforms, I believe we become candidates for deception as well. It's a place where Satan can inject mixed truth and untruth. And there's much of that being done. But it takes away from exposing ourselves to our brother. You know, what would you do in this situation? Maybe takes us away from spending that time on our knees and crying out to God for help. In all reality, when we study for a devotional or a message, could we take our Bible and through prayer and study of the Scripture come up with a devotional or a message? I think we should. The resources are there. They're abundant. But we become so dependent on some of these other methods sometimes that I believe slowly it undermines our relationship with the Lord, finally. Well, we could go back to Genesis. We don't have time to. There where Satan came to Eve, and you know, it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to eat of. And you know what? They did. And what happened? Their knowledge was expanded, but it was not for their good. And I think there's some parallels there we could look at here. But the digital age, it has many useful tools. It has abilities to accomplish things very quickly. You know, communication is unprecedented. You can talk with someone on the opposite side of the globe instantly, clearly, affordably. You can stay connected like never before. And you know, that's not all bad. I see some advantages and blessings in being able to connect with those that are serving elsewhere. I remember when my dad went to Paraguay for 3 weeks back in the 80s. I think Mom talked to him maybe twice while he was there. That was long and lonely. Well, today, we don't even hardly think about that. I'm supposed to go to Paraguay here in the beginning of next year, and you know, feeling like I can't communicate with my wife or my family, I don't even hardly think about that. I can call her every day if I want to while I'm there. So if there's things that can be used that I believe can be a benefit. But with the digital age, in it all, there's just tons of distractions and very detrimental abilities as well, things that we can get into that are not profitable at all. And I believe by design, it's there to pull us in. And I believe this morning, as Christians, we must always remember we have an enemy of the soul that uses whatever method possible to pull our attention to him with the intent to destroy us. And and the digital ability has affected every culture like probably most other things never were able to do. We lived in Honduras back in 91, and you know, cell phones down there were, I don't know if they existed. We had to go to Tegucigalpa to call home. Today you can go down there and out of the little huts and whatever on the mountain, they come out with phones that are probably worth more than their houses in some cases. And it has just changed the way they do things. The influence of Eastern culture, the Western culture, it's infiltrated everywhere with the digital abilities that we have. It's affected every culture. It's affected the world's cultures and influences. And in many cases, I believe it has also affected the church in negative ways as well. Well, we could think about after COVID, how that over COVID, many churches, including many of us, were looking for ways to continue worship collectively without a physical presence. And many went with online streaming and things. And what they used to solve one problem ended up creating a bigger problem. After COVID was gone, I don't know if COVID's gone, but after the restrictions and all that was gone, you know, there was people that didn't want to go back to church. It's too convenient to sit at home. A local officer there told me, he said he told his pastor, and he was saying this jokingly, he didn't mean it. But he said, you know, he said, it's kind of nice. He said, I can sit in my living room on my easy chair and sip my coffee and listen to you. And when I want to go get another cup, he said, I just turn you off for a little bit. And then I can turn it back on when I'm ready. Well, that is a little bit how these things work in a sly way in our life. We can control things a little easier, and we like that. It's not all good. On the other hand, it's a real blessing for some of those means. People can call in when they're sick, can't come to church, and still be a part of the worship, even if they can't be here. But let it never replace our physical gatherings. Well, I have this book, Scrolling Ourselves to Death, and it was interesting reading some of that. And time's going faster than I am here this morning. But I'm just going to read a little bit out of here again to consider how these things affect us. He said, heads down, phones out, fingers scrolling. This is the humanoid posture of our age. We see it everywhere. Sit in a coffee shop and look around you. All eyes on devices. Wait in line at the post office or grocery store, all eyes on devices. Sit at a red light and look at the drivers in the cars around you, same story. More disturbing still, look at the drivers on the highway going full speed. Even some of them have their eyes darting between the windshield and their smartphones. We see it in ourselves too. Sit down to read a physical book with your phone nearby. Observe how long you can go without scrolling, texting, or checking some notification. When you're standing in line at a coffee shop and have 45 seconds to spare, notice how hard it is to resist the urge to pull out your phone to do something, anything, to fill that blank space. And that's the other part of it this morning that I'd like to, I guess, give as a warning. We become so attached that we lose sensitivity to those around us. We lose that connecting, taking those 45 second opportunities to give a smile to somebody that just walked past us or whatever. More disturbing still, monitor how much time elapses between the moment you wake in the morning until the moment you unlock your phones and start scrolling. For many of us, it's only a matter of seconds. From the rising of the sun to its going down, we scroll our way through the day. We scroll our way all through life, and we are scrolling ourselves to death. The death march of our scrolling society is not just a metaphor. In many ways, a smartphone is literally killing us, and not just in distracted driving automobile accidents. Researchers have made compelling correlations between smartphones, especially social media, usage, and rising mental health, depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and loneliness, especially among teens and young adults. Consider the staggering rise in suicide rates. Thinking of relationships this morning. Consider the staggering rise in suicide rates among U.S. youth and young adults since the dawn of the smartphone age. Between 2001 and 2007, the suicide rates for children ages 10 to 24 was fairly stable, but since 2007, the year of the iPhone, it has skyrocketed, rising 62% between 2007 and 2021. Technology has also accelerated a loneliness epidemic, and we could read on. Are these things neutral? Is it something we shouldn't worry about? No, it's not. It's serious. It's a real thing that we deal with. And if we allow ourselves to allow these things to control us, we're going to end up with some of the same problems that these statistics give. Well, we're looking for good relationships. Never replace the authentic with digital devices. You know, in our relationship with God, first of all, I'd like to read one more thing here. And this comes from this book. Throughout the book, the authors counter these depressing scenarios with sound and simple advice. This is what he says, and I'm thinking of our relationship with God, our devotional life. He says, preach the word, non-preachers, immerse yourself into it. Then he makes this statement, and I want to say a big amen right behind it. Use real Bibles. This morning, we are in a time, and probably a lot of us have Bible apps and things. I don't, because my phone's not capable of that. But when we get away from using the book, I think we lose something. Use real Bibles. And with that, you know, again, never replace the authentic with digital devices. I say it without apology. You know, don't substitute the Bible or the book with the digital device. Not saying we can't use it maybe in a situation where we're out of the norms. But for our normal personal time with God, use the book. For our collective worship, use a Bible with pages. Highlight precious verses. Underline outstanding text passages. Why? Because our phones have so many other distractions and pop-ups and things, depending what phones you have, that can be a distraction. Within the same device, you can have a full album. You can have a lot of messages from others and whatnot to distract us. Can we lay those things aside and take God's word and immerse ourselves in it without any distraction? God will not share his glory with any other. He wants our full attention. We like to multitask. But we have a need, I believe, this morning for undistracted worship, to where we get close with God and we take time to meditate. You know, our phones connect us to others, not to God. Our relationships in our homes, you know, again, How much of a distraction are they when we're at the table? Can we eat together? Can we worship together? Can we sing together? Can we pray together? Can we play together? And are these devices laid aside so we don't have distractions in times like that? And you know, I confess this morning I have a need of growth in that. Are our phones robbing us of these good times? Relationships in the church. You know, we can be a part of a local church, but our social life can be outside of that realm with our digital abilities. With those that we don't have to relate to closely, we can kind of get along with them better because, you know, we can talk to them when we want to and we don't have to if we don't want to. Whereas a close local body calls for commitment, calls for submission, calls for relating. Texting and calling have been a blessing in many ways, but they can be abused easily as well. I've received many encouraging texts that were just a real blessing that we could not used to do. And I'm not condemning that at all, and neither am I putting those down that don't have take positions against it. But I don't believe texting should be used for admonishing someone and things like that, because there's not an emotion, there's not a personal touch with it. Our facial expressions and our tone of voice can't be substituted with a text message. And then doing physical things, you know, being there for church activities, Wednesday evening services, work bees, deeds of kindness, bless your ministry with those little tokens sometimes. I can say that away from home. We've received many of those. Physical things. Your school teacher, those flowers, those gifts of kindness. Go physically visit each other. Sit in each other's living rooms. Eat at each other's tables or around the fire. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't let these digital devices rob us of the very precious opportunities that we have when we're together and things like that. Staying connected locally. There's nothing that replaces physical presence. Yes, we use our phones to call each other and all that. And there's many other things we could look at. Mark 9:43-47 talks about if our hand offends us, to cut it off, or our eye to pluck it out. Because it's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God being maimed or with one eye than being cast into hell. In the digital side, can we learn to cut off and to pluck out what needs done to build relationships? Knowing that some of these things can be a hindrance to relationships. When it's easier to communicate with a phone than face to face, I believe our digital device or phone or whatever, I believe it's a snare. And there are definitely things with digital in the digital world that we should abstain from. And as a local body, I trust you have things in place. But things like social media and may I say all the group chats and things that we have going on even among us, I'm concerned about sometimes. It keeps us connected in a way, but yet we can say things and do things sometimes that we wouldn't do if we were face to face. God help us in those things. And we have our family chats and things, but I think they can be very much overdone and get out of bounds if we're not careful. I think another thing we have to be careful with is that we're not more connected with podcasts and things outside of our local bodies teaching and scriptural teaching, listening to those that we don't know really their faith, their life, and practice. And yet we can get so attached to the fair speeches and the good words that come from them. God help us in those things. And that ability is all around us. We face it. So God help us this morning. I'd like to read Malachi 3:16-18 yet. I've taken too much time already this morning. But I'd just like to read those verses as we think of building relationships or maintaining relationships in a digital age. This was God looking on. Malachi 3:16-18. He said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard
heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own soul that serveth him, spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I just love here how God, looking on, loves good relationships. And what are we going to do? What are we willing to do or do without to maintain that in our digital world? Shall we kneel for prayer? Our righteous Heavenly Father, this morning,